How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, being appropriately sentimental in the season, the holiday season, but today, the Thanksgiving season. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
It's the Thanksgiving season, so hoop-dee-doo and hickory dock, and don't forget to turkey your clock.
What happening?
Just singing classic Thanksgiving songs.
You know, we're around the Thanksgiving tree. We're being appropriately seasonal. We did a bunch of Halloween stuff, and then Gina took a week off, so we used a bank episode. And now we've got back-to-back Thanksgiving episodes, and then we're on to Christmas.
Don't blame me for this nonsense. If you people were available at reasonable hours.
What are we talking about?
Like work hours?
If you guys were available from 1 to 3 p.m. on a Tuesday,
we can do this. There's a thing called 5 p.m. 5 p.m. exists.
But that's when our entire family needs to gather for dinner.
No.
What do you even mean?
I'm going to... Listen, here's what I'll do. I will come to both of your houses, kill your entire families, and then you can podcast whenever you want to.
That seems like a fair trade-off to me.
You know, that's a bold, offer. And we'll just see how that works out. If I start podcasting somehow more, like that's possible, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, that'll be in the true crime documentary about it. Everyone will be like, well, we didn't see Melissa for a long time. And then we realized Ray was recording a lot of podcasts.
He was recording podcasts like his freedom relied on it.
He was podcasting Rogan-esque amounts of
podcasts. But I mean,
Corolla-esque amounts.
Recording a podcast is the perfect alibi. You have timestamps of everything.
That's
true. Just at some point, like while we're recording, you just remember to turn off your mic or be like, well, got to take a 5 to 15 minute poop. If it sounds like knife stabbings, that's just the noise I make.
No, wait a minute, though, because I thought you were doing the killing. What? Wait, maybe my timelines are botched here.
There's got to be two killers, Ray.
Right.
You can't get all the way around the Arconium just by running.
Oh, no, but you can use the ledge.
Now if someone does turn up dead, it's like we've thrown suspicion onto each of us, so they can never try one of us because there will always be an alternative theory for the crime.
They can't try us like because we're married? Is that how that works?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm on a podcast with Gina. I cannot testify against her. I think this all follows suit. Anyway, we are watching. We saw a thing. We watched Calvin and the Colonel, a 19 Chan, dear Lord, I need some answers. A 1961 black and white cartoon that lasted one season, 24 episodes. And I had a lot of thoughts about it that didn't make a lot of sense. And then Chan and Gina let me in on some backstory before we started recording, and all my notes make perfect sense.
This is why you read the Wikipedia. I didn't. I saw this thing on a list of like Thanksgiving specials. And I was like, oh, this looks terrible. I'm sure it's going to be bad and we're going to have some fun with it. And then I left it at that. And then I started watching it. And like 2 minutes in, I'm like, I should really check the Wikipedia.
Yes.
And then.
Yes. Every time. You should check the Wikipedia every time.
Oh boy. Let's lay it out there, just so you know. If you haven't watched it yet, you know, like go ahead and stop and then watch it, form some thoughts, and then recontextualize those thoughts with this following sentence from the Wikipedia. The series was an animated remake of Amos and Andy. Oh, well, that makes sense now.
Makes a lot of sense.
They made them friggin' animals so that it isn't weird that two white dudes were pretending to be black.
Yeah, there were choices made. That's all I'm going to say.
And not even was it just bad for, you know, like 2024. It was canceled after 2 months due to low ratings. It came back because their sponsor had a contract and like, oh, we could get more money out of them. So they went and finished the rest of the season. And oh boy. Yeah, there's you can tell. You can tell that this was not a popular show.
To be clear, the 1950s Amos and Andy TV show had actual black actors in it, whereas the radio show and stage show,
the
I guess,
original, the thing that it all came from, were
it's
white
a radio
dudes.
Show, right?
Yeah, and radio then, show and stage show.
And then when they put it on TV, they're like, well, we probably can't have these two white guys playing two black guys. Even then, I guess that the woke mob came for them.
When they were doing it, when the two white guys were doing it, it was in the 1920s. So for anyone not familiar, when they were doing blackface, it was the 1920s when it was still cool.
Yeah. That's what they said at the time. It's still cool, right? All right.
Yeah, dude. No, you're good. You're way good.
Let's squeeze as much juice out of this as we can before it becomes not okay. but they instead changed them to animals for this.
Yeah, and that made it all better. Then you
did it though.
The full depth and glory of the Amos and Andy show without.
Say what this is called, Calvin and the Colonel. I don't think I think we started talking about it without giving the title of the show.
They downloaded this goddamn episode. The title is on there.
But also, you know, and I'll put it out there right now, because once they told me what was going on, I looked at my notes here and I'm like, why does this feel so racist? and then it all clicked into place. It was like the end of Shutter Island. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay.
Listen, a cartoon fox and a dumb bear can't be racist, Ray.
You know, it was, I think, the accents that they were doing. Can you pick a couple random lines and just play them so we understand? The people at home who did not watch this could understand the voices that we were hearing.
Yeah, by the way, this is the Amos and Andy radio actors. So yes. they are doing the same voices. So it's two white guys, and here they are animals, but they're doing the same voices they did when they were two black guys on the radio. So that's the very confusing context of this.
Oh, yeah, Calvin. Me and Maggie Bell and Sister Sue was talking about you only this morning. About you spending the holiday up here, all alone in your room.
Well, come to think of it, it does get lonely now and then. Sometimes I regret setting those rat traps.
So you've got Colonel Montgomery J. Claxton, who is a shrewd fox. And Calvin T. Burnside, a dumb bear. And
I think the context of shrewd fox is that he's essentially a con artist, because looking through every episode has to do with him conning someone out of money. Like episode one, Calvin and the Colonel get a job picking up television sets and delivering them to the repairman. Things go wrong when they pick up a wrong television set and break it. I assume that then they try to blame it on someone else. But there's another one that's like, oh, he's like not able to get a refund on this thing, Or, oh, after breaking his nephew's car, the colonel tries to get insurance on it after breaking it. So everything he does is, I don't know if he has a job, but he's a con man. He's a con man.
It was reminiscent of Justin Bateman's Fox character in Zootopia, but considerably more racist.
Justin Bateman?
Or Jason Bateman, excuse me. I was thinking of Justine, and then I merged it together in my brain, and it became
Justin. You just combined. Yeah.
Jason Bateman. How could I? He's been on many great things.
And some not so great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But he's running hustles. He's a hustler. He's out there trying to make some cheddar. And he's doing it at a time when Thanksgiving dinner only costs $50. For 36 people, it only costs $50.
I can feed people for $50.
36 people you could feed for $50.
Yeah, I'm not.
In the year 2024.
Listen, just don't tell the cops what that noise was in the kitchen while we were podcasting.
We're back to what we talked about earlier in the show, I see.
If you eat a person, there's no evidence.
Oh, you know what? Breaking Bad really should have considered this angle.
Yeah.
Really should have considered it. So here's the deal. Yeah, I wrote here, like, what are these people? Are they dogs? Yeah, it's a fox and a bear. I did figure it out eventually. At least that's what I wrote down and hoped to be true. And it starts with 1 year ago at Uncle Harry's house. And essentially our hero, the colonel tells his whole extended family, hey, y'all, we've been imposing on you for holiday after holiday after holiday. 1 year from now, all you relatives are invited to our small apartment for Thanksgiving dinner on us. And everybody's like, yay, that sounds great. Immediately cut to, we don't have the money to feed 36 relatives on Thanksgiving. And he says, don't worry about it.
His logic here is sound. He's a little drunk. He's feeling friendly, and he's like, "Yeah, they're not gonna remember this in a year." I have to say, as someone who gets hit up a lot for people asking to pick my brain about writing, and I sometimes say, "Ah, I'm so busy. Hit me up a month from now." I have often thought they'll forget, right? So I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, look, and he said, well, to be fair, to do something so bold with the hope of just none of these 36 people will remember it, I think that plan is not so good.
I think a lot of them were probably deep in wine, too.
Not wine.
I wouldn't just assume. Yeah, what
not
is it?
Not wine.
You never should have had that second glass of clam juice.
Clam juice.
Yeah,
clam
you can't show drinking on kids' cartoons back then.
You guys, and this is the thing. Now knowing what it is, as I watched it, I'm like, every single, with the exception of the one guy who I looked up, because he did the voices for like Disney and stuff. He had a very, Paul something. He had a Paul great Freeze. Voice. Paul Frees, yeah, very famous old-timey voice actor.
Some call him Mr. Frees.
Some people call him that. I do. And everybody else was so unpleasantly racist. I can't even express it, because when I watched it at the time, I'm like, this is uncomfortable. I'm not 100% putting my finger on why, but it feels racist to find out it was Amos and Andy, which, you know, two white guys, you know, effectively doing audio blackface.
We skipped over the very 60s opening of this cartoon, which is, first of all, it's a black and white cartoon. It looks sort of just like a moving newspaper comic strip. But the opening is like set to this 60s music, and it's just like geometric shapes appearing on screen. And I wrote, this is the most 60s opening of anything I have ever seen, because it's like and then like a triangle and just random geometric shapes melting into one another.
It's good though. This is a style of anime, you know, I kind of recognize it. It kind of Fritz the Cat and a few other sort of like indie animated stuff kind of leans into like this territory.
A film strip that you'd watch in math class in the fourth
yes,
grade.
Yes, yes. Oh, that is a perfect description.
A little
Chan.
Bit Phantom Tollbooth-y. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is a very, very, so now my thing is this colonel does not speak to his wife, or who's this other one? His mother?
I thought it was his mother, but it's her sister apparently.
Oh, sister-in-law. Okay. So he offers these 36 people. He says, hey, yeah, come to our small apartment in a year. He's not planning on doing any of the cooking. So that's going to fall to his wife and his sister-in-law. And these women had 365 days to plan the perfect murder, and they didn't do it. Because that
there's a cop that lives above them.
Yeah, I mean, right above even them. Better, even better. You know what you do? You kill that colonel. Bake him into a pie, bake him into two pies, bring the second pie up to the cop and say, hey, I had too much pie, blah, 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 blah. Enjoy this one. You can eat it. And then on your way out, be like, oh, you know what? If you see my husband, he said he's going to be home late tonight. And then the next day you go up and you say, how was that pie? You know what? Weird thing. My husband didn't come home last night. And then he's an accessory after the fact because he ate your husband.
Oh boy, that's a way to get everybody's silence.
Pretty sure that's not how it works. Having watched the documentary Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
There was also an old Alfred Hitchcock. That was
also Sweeney Todd.
No, she killed her husband with like a leg of lamb. And then when the cop shows up, she cooks the leg of lamb and feeds it to him. And he's like, looks like he was hit about the head with something. You know, something like a mallet, not a baseball bat, as he's eating the leg of lamb. It was a great episode.
You know what? I like that.
Yeah.
That's a smart way to dispose of a murder weapon.
Yeah. Frozen. Kill everyone with a frozen leg of lamb. Whoever is listening to this.
Also, you know, I miss the good old days when detectives would come to your house to investigate a murder that you might have committed. And then they just hang out for dinner.
I mean, listen, we all know that if you showed up to someone's place and they were like, do you want some delicious lamb? You would say yes. We would all say yes.
I mean, I'll eat a gyro, sure. But like lamb, not my favorite. That's a protein I think that I think the future can do without.
I'm not a lamb fan either, but it could be any frozen hunk of meat that they killed someone with. It could be one of those giant turkey legs from Disneyland.
If they say long pork, best avoid.
Yeah, don't eat the long pig. No, that's bad. This does remind me. I was looking up seasonal horror movies on Tubi earlier today because I was on a search for Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2, the sequel, which I thought was streaming on Prime, but only rental for like $12.99. Are you out of your mind? But that
are you a devoted fan of the franchise or not?
Yeah, I am, but I'm either going to go see it in a theater, which I didn't know until it was too late that it was even in theaters. And then I'm going to watch it for free somewhere. I'm not going to pay. I'll pay $5 for it. I won't pay $12.99. But it did lead me down the rabbit hole of realizing Thanksgiving about Tom the Turkey, who's a murderer. And then there's a sequel, Thanksgiving 3, where they investigate what happened to Part 2. And they make all these references to Part 2. But Part 2 never got made. And honestly, I kind of really want to see it now. As the meta joke that it is.
I mean,
but also, part
two has even more. It's not just Winnie the Pooh anymore. It's a lot of other public domain characters.
Gina, we connoisseurs, we already know Piglet was also one of the killers in the first one.
Yeah, but he's another Winnie the Pooh character. This combines many franchises.
I believe Gina, the article, and maybe I haven't seen the movie yet, but my understanding is that this movie only has Owl in there and one other one, a Tigger maybe. And you have the four killers and it maybe alludes to it, but they're going to make separate movies for all those other characters. They're going to make a slasher Peter Pan and a bunch of other slasher films based. And then they're going to have like the World Series of Poker where they bring them all together for a movie.
Yeah, this is I'm talking about Pooniverse : Monsters Pooniverse. Assemble, which is a take on the Marvelverse Avengers Assemble. It says featuring Pooh, Bambi, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, and more.
Yeah. And when does that drop exactly? Where is the theater we're renting for it?
It has pre-sold, which means it's not made yet.
Man, I missed out.
They'll begin principal photography scheduled for March.
I'm going to tell you right now, if we have an opportunity to rent a small AMC theater for a private showing of this movie, every single person who's on our Patreon is getting an invite.
Hey, I'm tell you I right did it now. For my birthday for Mortal Kombat a few years ago. Best decision I ever made. You were both there.
It's what inspires me, Gina. I'll be honest with you.
Great, great.
Oh, but to finish my original thought.
A little easier to do in a pandemic, by the way.
Oh, you got to.
They still offer those deals, actually. Especially, like, they're usually for, you know, off times. Sure. But didn't we just do this for, or was it just an empty theater? We went for Andrew Wollman's birthday to see the Marvels.
That's a good question. I think it was, he rented it out, I think.
Yeah, people still do it.
And we all brought our kids and then spent half the movie outside of the theater with our kids.
We did not all bring our kids. I watched the movie in comfort and style.
Disagree, Gina. You brought every kid that you have. but my whole thought, though, and the word that originally set me on this is that there's also a Mary Had a Little Lamb slasher movie and an Easter Bunny slasher movie. And, of course, the Steamboat Willie-inspired Mickey Mouse mask in a mall knife guy slasher movie. So I got a lot of viewing to do is what I'm trying to say.
Mickey Mouse mask in a ball?
Yeah, I forget the exact name of it. It's not Steamboat Willie, but when it hit public domain, obviously they rushed to release a slasher film based on Steamboat Willie in the public domain, just like they did with Winnie the Pooh and these others. And so it's a killer wearing a Mickey Mouse face, and there's copious references to Steamboat Willie in it, and they can call him Mickey Mouse from Steamboat Willie, and he's a slasher. And it looks exceedingly cheap.
I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I care about the people at home. It's called Mickey Mouse, The Mouse Trap. That's what it's called.
If there were anything to discuss about this cartoon, I would be very mad that we've taken this digression.
There's plenty.
There is nothing, so I will allow it.
So there's here's plenty. The deal. It was announced on January 1st, 2024, the day that Mickey's Steamboat Willie went to the public domain. It's already out. It's an hour and 20 minutes long, and you can get it on Prime Video, 2.5 on IMDb, 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. You better believe I'm going to watch this movie.
Great.
Do you guys want to, should I send you the trailer?
No. Absolutely not.
You know, its budget was $800,000.
I'll tell you what. I'll let you send me the pilot if we can get through the rest of this episode in 35 minutes.
Let's not kid ourselves, Gina. There's a lot to talk about here. All right, so here we go. The first order of business, how do we get out of this Thanksgiving Day dinner that we cannot afford? First things first, I'm going to hang a bubonic plague sign on our door, and we're going to hide the whole weekend. Not bad.
Was bubonic plague a concern back in the 60s?
No, but it's still a funny thing to tell people you have or might have.
Fair enough.
It's like the monkeypox of today?
Yeah, except monkeypox is current. Bubonic plague was just like that's why it's funny, because it's like not something that people would have.
I would assume that it is a joke, but also there are those weird blind spots that you get. They're like, I didn't realize that like women weren't allowed to get their own credit cards up until the 70s. That's like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Stupid late. Right. So like maybe there was an outbreak of the bubonic plague in Spain in like 1961. And so like, it was sort of on people's minds.
No, I think it was just a funny choice. Like if he had said if he had said, hey, we all have polio, like that wouldn't be funny.
Actually, it'd be super funny.
It'd be very funny if we all got polio. Guys, bubonic plague, according to this website, is extremely rare, but there are fewer than 1,000 U.S. cases per year. It never left.
That is a lot of cases.
That's too many cases like, of bubonic plague.
Sure, out of like 400 million people, that doesn't happen very often. But that still seems like a lot of cases.
It's a rare but serious bacterial infection transmitted by fleas.
But it's also like, it also has a low mortality rate. And when it was around originally, It was called the Black Death because everyone died. But now it's like,
are you a goddamn bubonic plague apologist? Is that what's happening here?
Listen, I'm just saying we should all cough into each other's mouths and see what happens.
I'm just saying bubonic plague had some good ideas.
Come on, Gina, we offered that as a Patreon level and you refused it. So don't you bring that here now.
Listen, I'm not the one who says we'll do something for Patreon subscribers and then never does it. That's you guys.
I feel seen right now.
Gina just doesn't say that we're going to do anything.
Exactly. I'm not going to promise. This is why I live my life in a specific way, and that is I if I say I'm going to do something, I do it, which is why I'm busier than you guys. You guys say you're going to do everything and then do nothing.
Here's the deal, and I will have you know, right before we started recording, I did two posts on our Knowing is Half the Podcast Patreon of this episode and the previous episode before we drop it, so everybody could watch the shows. We're back on it, folks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. We're on fire.
How long do we think this will last?
About right now. This was it. This was the jam.
We're done.
Look, if I remember to do it while I'm sitting here getting ready to record when we're all waiting for Chan.
Wow. Hey, don't call me.
Then I'll have hours a week to get this stuff together.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's a stray that just hit Chan for no good reason. okay, so... They tell the colonel, the two ladies, they say, no, you promised this. This is on you. We will not help you. You will go get the food. And he goes, it costs money. They go, find the money. He says, I need $50 for this dinner. They're like, not our problem. Go get $50. And it's apparently the Great Depression. I don't really know like why he can't just get $50.
Are you serious? Why someone can't scrounge up $50? Are you serious? There are people today who can't scrounge up $50.
Most people shouldn't be promising asshole. 36 people over to their house for Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
They come over
you
here.
Truly have invited. No idea how anything works. You mean like when you promise that you're going to send t-shirts to all of our patrons and then don't send them?
Well, we did that. Do you know how much work that was for me and me only to do?
Or when you promise that you're going to regularly post on the weird new social media apps and then you never do it. Is that what you're talking about?
Good. I got a thread that got over 100 likes just today. So I'll have you know I'm blowing up the Threadiverse.
I just did a calculation and $50 back when this cartoon came out is about $500. $10 today.
There you go.
Seriously, $510?
No.
Did you just call me stupid?
Yes. Because what? Why can't this family just scrounge up $50 is the exact kind of white ray dude thing I would expect to come out of your
white
mouth.
Ray dude thing.
Thanksgiving dinner? Like $10?
I don't understand. Why can't all these unhoused people just go get houses? Like, what's their problem?
Why can't they just pick them up themselves? Pick themselves up by their bootstraps.
Get a job and then get a house. I did it. It's not hard. I did have somebody tell me, I won't say who, I moved across the country to a place, just picked up and moved, no problem, because I didn't like the way things were run in the state I lived in, so anyone can do it. That guy was homeless at the time.
Is this the guy you worked with that I'm going to kill? The young guy?
No, which this is one? Not. I have had no communication with that
so
wonderful streamer for years. Workers. Let
know,
him go,
just,
oh no.
Listen,
Gina, let him go, and also let him go. He's in your basement. That's why you keep bringing him up.
No, I like
that
I have
fresh.
A villain to blame everything on.
No, this is a different person who makes no sense when they say things. He needs $50. Okay. So he goes to his friend, Calvin J. Burnside, the dumb bear. I'll say naive bear. How about that? I don't think he's dumb.
Yeah, they describe him as dumb, but what does he do? He's just seems trusting. It's not like he's really all that.
I mean, to be fair, this bear is about, there's about 70 million of them in this country, and they did the worst thing possible. So, yeah,
no, this bear doesn't vote. This bear does not vote.
Oh, this bear votes.
No, no, this bear doesn't vote. This bear is like making weird tea out of the ingredients that he finds. And then someone like a week later is like, who'd you vote for? And he's like, vote. Oh, right. I forgot.
I disagree firmly. But sorry, Chan, you were about to say?
I have no idea what I was going to say anymore. Y'all went down a weird ass rabbit hole that I could not follow.
We did it. Well, Colonel says to Calvin, I don't want you to have to be alone on the holidays. And the bear's like, yeah, man, that sounds good, man. Thanks for inviting me. He goes, well, there is a fee. Oh, okay. Well, how much is it? $50. Well, I have $3. Well, that's not going to work then, is it? I'll be honest with you. I need the food. Oh, I saw an ad for free food. If you buy a $375 freezer, Chan, what's $375 from then to now? It's probably quite a lot of money.
I thought that this was going to be the two of them going around to the town and selling plates at their Thanksgiving. And each person was like, well, I don't have $50. I have $2. And everyone was going to be doing that. And then at the end,
that would have made for a better episode.
And then at the end, he was going to be like, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's like $4,000, which is
that's too much.
That's a lot for a freezer.
A lot for a freezer.
That is a lot. Especially it's like a small, it's like a, you know, one of those ice box freezers.
I'll be real. I could get that freezer at Costco for like $100 right now of today money.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like you're like eggs cost so much, but also you can buy a television that is bigger than God for like a buck and change.
That's right. People are just throwing those away now. You ever just drive through a sub? You'll see like 3 55-inch TVs just at the curb.
Just wild.
It's just the world we live in. But you know, eggs. Y'all don't even eat eggs. Shut up.
Yeah, who's eating that many eggs? People with kids, probably.
No. It's old people. It's old. It's the olds. I'm gonna say right now when I'm gonna let the cat out. When my wife's mom and stepdad come to visit, they blow through all our eggs.
Really?
Blow through them. We have eggs. We hardly ever. I'm always worried the eggs are gonna go bad, but they never seem to.
Yeah, I don't. And then, that's exactly why I don't buy eggs. I can't eat a dozen eggs by myself before they go bad.
Yeah, they last like forever, but then the key is to have older relatives come by, and then I'm not even kidding, man. Every day, like 6 eggs gone. It's outrageous.
Boomers really do not care what they eat, and it's quite enviable.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Gina. I don't care what I eat, and no chance you envy me.
No, that's true. But I think if it's between old people eating eggs and you drinking poison on a regular basis, I'm siding with the olds.
What do you mean drinking poison on a regular
basis? I believe you know what I mean. She's referring to diet sodas.
That's outrageous. How dare you?
You know exactly
I mean, I cut out hemlock a long time ago, so what are you talking about?
Here's the thing. 2 years from now, when you have your first minor cardiac event and your doctor tells you to adjust your diet, you're going to be talking a lot of game about like, so I cut out this, I cut out that. You could just do it now and not have that heart attack.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. No.
Hold the phone. A car could be blue.
A car could be blue. Chan, you win 2 orphans. You're not gonna quote the state on my dime and not think I'm gonna find it, Mr. Bub. Wooden.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Our Lords. Extension. rescue warriors.
I am Lord Power, leader of the Lords.
Kriptog and Rhaegoth are attacking.
We must help Psyduck defend Balkan Rock.
Our Lord.
Kriptog has four fists. Psyduck is finished. It's Lord Power. He zapped Kriptog's head. But Arcus has Psyduck.
Our Lords.
Adam Powell, Psyduck, Kriptog, and Arcus are each sold separately from the Power Lords collection, new from Revell.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Are we done yet? Did he buy the freezer?
He bought the freezer. Well, he's going to. Because if he's dissatisfied for any reason, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So he shows up. He says, I'm going to stuff this freezer full of Thanksgiving food. I'm going to buy the freezer with this check, and then I'm going to return it before you cash the check, and I'm going to keep the food. I'm going to literally commit fraud.
Here's the thing. Quite honestly. All he had to do, he knows that check is going to bounce anyway. So, like, all he has to do is the next day is Thanksgiving. That you can't cash a check on Thanksgiving. He could have waited 2 days and gone back and said to the guy, like, hey, I'm not satisfied with this freezer. The fact that he does it 15 minutes later, the fact that he takes it home, he unloads all the food, brings it back to the camel. He's a camel in a suit. And he's like, here's your freezer back. Give me my money. And instead, he should have waited 2 days and just said, like, oh, my God, I realize we don't have the room for this. I had to bring it back. 2 days later, that guy wouldn't demand his food back. He would assume you already ate some of it.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Like, his plan is bad, but he's bad at crime. Let's just say it.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. Setting aside that obviously this is how 1962 perceived all black people.
I'm sorry, Chan, it's a fox and a bear. What do you mean?
I'm not following your logic.
Despite that, I have known so many people in the artistic communities in which we reside, people who just need that drama in their life. They need that cortisol response. They need that flush of adrenaline when something goes bad. This is a dude who absolutely is like, I could do this. I could be sneaky about this and actually, pull off a heist, essentially. Or I could just let the chips fall where they may. And that's absolutely what this fool is up to.
Yeah, it's you're true. Right. Like, now that you've compared it to certain comedy people we know, now I understand what you're talking about.
I couldn't fathom when I read the story of how many people were trying to return Halloween costumes online on November 1st. Bunch of assholes.
Ew.
Yeah, they're all just like, I only wore it once. Yeah, dick, that's the point. Anyway, it's the same people that buy a TV the Saturday before the Super Bowl and then return it the Monday after.
But the thing is, that store should explicitly say, we all know people do this, so they should explicitly say there are no returns after the Super Bowl.
I mean, you would think so, but people are going to try shady stuff all the time. For example, this clearly not coded fox and bear.
Mm-hmm.
From the Amos and Andy crew. They got a half hour. It's 5 o'clock. The store closes at 5:30. I asked myself the same question that Gina did. Like, what's the rush? Why do we have to get it back before they close today? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. But if we remember the plot, they do go back the next day, which I guess maybe is Black Friday and not Thanksgiving. Or is it? I don't know.
Black Friday wasn't a thing in 1961.
No, you're right, but they go back on Thanksgiving morning to own up for their crimes.
I mean, the dude does say, bring it back by tomorrow morning or I'm gonna stick the cops on you.
Right. I don't think they were in danger of the banks are already closed at 5:30. They weren't in any danger of that check being deposited that night or the next day.
Correct. They were fine. But they did also the sequence where they show up at their own apartment bring the food upstairs over the course of at least three trips, and we are forced to sit through every single moment of it in the longest animated sequence in history.
Yeah, I did write that down. I did write that I really love all the time-wasting animation-saving tricks that they do. I mean, they're not tricks because anyone knows them, but, you know, this was hand-drawn animation. It takes a long time. They obviously don't have a budget. So there are times when they're like, let's have them drive through traffic for 10 minutes. Can we waste 10 minutes with them driving through traffic in the same thing? And you know what? I appreciate it. That was one of the things that I appreciated. I like that they were like, how can we make this animated show for $10?
In today's money, $1.4 million.
That's correct. I didn't realize I was watching 24, where all the events were happening in real time. Because that's effectively what happens from buying it to trying to return it. So they get back, they argue with the salesperson, and quite honestly, I just got uncomfortable. They're trying some weird sovereign citizen language bullshit to get out of this deal, and the salesman rightfully is not having it. He says, you will bring me back my food.
There is a point where he almost buys it, so I get why they're going to try it.
He gets close, but, you know, if you tell the cop I'm not driving, I'm traveling, you're going to get your window busted out because you're an idiot.
I mean, you're going to get your window busted out anyway because it's a cop, but.
Well, because you're a bear?
Yeah. Or a wily fox.
Thank you. It was very uncomfortable. This entire segment where they know they're wrong, he knows they're wrong. Nothing is right, and they just keep going to a point where I'm just not happy anymore, and I did
also
not care.
This camel looks like he's about to have an emotional breakdown at one point.
Yeah, he's getting
like he's
getting
gonna cry.
So they need to return. They need to return the food on Thanksgiving morning. So they find out we got to steal the food from ourselves, stage it so it looks like thieves came in, but to trip them up. Half the food, including the turkey and the ham, are two flights above them where a cop lives in the cop's fridge. So they got to steal from a cop.
I mean, under ordinary circumstances, I would approve, but I feel like it's not going to work out for these two.
I do.
A cop
I do.
Who loves his gun.
I do. Yeah. He really likes his gun. I do appreciate the fact, though, that like, they go up on the roof because they're like, oh, let's scout it out and we're going to steal it. And immediately the cop calls the wife and is like, hey, what's your idiot husband doing on the roof? I've got a gun. I'm going to go find him.
He
it was pretty great.
He has the gun pulled while he's on the phone.
While
before
he's calling.
He picks up the phone to call. He's got it out and cocked.
Oh my what God. Is happening?
He's you guys ready. Don't. You guys don't pick up your gun before you make any phone call?
Here's the deal. If you think cops are bad and aggressive and violent in the year 2024, imagine before they took the lead out of everything. Holy shit. It makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it?
I will say we skipped over the one part that I thought was funny. The only thing I found funny in this episode. Fox guy talks to his lawyer, who is a weasel.
Yes.
He's watching television. And
yes, yes.
There are talking humans on it.
That was funny. Yeah.
There was it's like a regular news report.
It was Ed Sullivan. It was an Ed Sullivan bit with Fifi and the trick people.
Fifi the poodle and her performing people. And then at the beginning of this thing, he's watching and like,
you know, they actually have people on there talking like animals. It is completely unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a good bit.
I genuinely thought that was hilarious.
Funny. That was genuinely funny. I agree 1,000%. And his suggestion for all of this is, why don't you hire some muscle to steal your food? Get a local tough. What a lawyer. That guy's great. I like that guy. So now they're on the roof.
He's not wrong. Back then, you could get a local tough for anything.
You go rent yourself a local tough.
My when my grandfather got married, he was he was worried that my grandma's ex-boyfriend might show up to pull some crap. So he got a bunch of guys to stand outside the wedding chapel with violin cases.
Oh, so they could play him music if he showed up?
Can't tell if Gina's joking or not.
I am not joking.
You know enough to know enough.
I'm absolutely not joking.
It sounds like a cartoonish version of immigrant Italians, like you watch too many Scorsese movies.
But at the same time,
it's Gina. You know, it's one of those memes.
Italian
where it's just
stereotypes
like,
are accurate. That's why
Gina
we love
Ippolito
them.
Says not all Italians are in the mafia, but also
listen, all real Italians know someone in the mafia or know someone who knows someone in the mafia. You heard it here first. I can't be racist. I am one.
I mean, Italians are white people though in the future.
There's no good term for racism. I could have said I'm not anti-Italian, but it's too big a mouthful.
It's like a big old meatball.
I mean, from what I hear,
Italianophobic.
Have huge mouths. So shouldn't be a problem.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so they're on the roof and they're going to lower down. This is not a terrible plan. You get one of them in the kitchen. You lower down a string in a basket. You
just say
the
that that's not a terrible plan.
That in itself is not terrible.
To lower a bear through a skylight, steal food from a fridge.
I like the attitude.
A video of whatever is going on in Ray's house right now because I think he you said guys. That like he's like, yeah, that's not a bad plan, right? Wait, oh no.
Guys, I just poked my head out the garage and it turns out somebody's lowering a bear through my skylight.
Yeah, you know
somebody. Not a bad plan. Not a bad plan. No, it's right now. Bear says, well, how come I'm down here and you're up there? And he says, because look at the roof. You could fall off. I'm helping you. You got walls where you are, buddy. And you know what? That tracks. I like that. It's a good plan.
Yeah. Bears are stupid. That's what we know. We know for a fact, based on our extensive experience with bears. With my one bear friend who I have.
We all know one bear friend. We can get street toughs and bears whenever we want.
You realize you're starting to sound like Walter from fucking Big Lebowski. Like in human life, you are becoming Walter Sobchak from Big Lebowski.
Listen, I'm on board with that. I love that. I would love to be Walter. I mean, I can get you a toe.
So another bit from this that I did like, he says, you've been down there 10 minutes. You haven't loaded up any food. He goes, yeah, hold on. I'm making a sandwich.
I mean, this is me. Yeah. This is
me. I enjoyed it.
If you we saw him earlier, like he was trying to make tea with some random crap because he clearly doesn't have money. And if all of a sudden you had unfettered access to a fully stocked fridge, listen, I would do this when I used to babysit. If the parents gave me permission to eat whatever I want, I was eating all of their Dunkaroos.
Literally, the fridge door is missing. You know, it's just don't worry about that. Your fridge is gone. You never had a fridge. Yeah. So another line, he says, well, wait, I hear footsteps on the roof. They're the flattest footsteps I ever heard. I laughed again. I don't care. That's old-timey wordplay, and I enjoyed it. And so Sergeant Conway, it turns out, after, again, way too long of him working this out, with the bear being in the kitchen and him supposedly being alone on the roof, therefore the bear cannot be on the roof. But hold on. But you're in the kitchen. Dear Lord, that segment drags on for an excessively long time. Vaudeville, ladies and gentlemen.
Bears on roof?
Vaudeville.
How could this be?
Yeah. Guys, if you don't understand what vaudeville is, imagine like an improv show, right? Or a sketch comedy show, but everything takes five times longer because everybody repeats themselves over and over again because the audience is stupid. Was that a fair breakdown?
I mean, you're being redundant. You could have just stopped at imagine an improv show or a sketch show and then just stop.
Yeah, I zoned out after that part too.
I think you're our target audience. Sadly, you're on the show and you don't listen.
What? I am? Oh my God.
What? Okay.
Listen, I'm just here to pull off some bear shenanigans.
So the cop says, I've got you. I'm going to take you, my neighbor, at gunpoint back into my kitchen.
Yeah. And what the fuck, man? He's trailing behind him, holding him at gunpoint like he is a criminal.
I mean, he is. Cop. Oh, yeah. But the other thing about it is Fox is the colonel says, what are you going to do when we get down there? Are you going to shoot him? He's like, no, I just want to talk and figure this out. He goes, why don't you shoot him and not talk? I'm like, oh, shit. He's trying to throw his friend under the bus and murder him.
Yeah, he is.
He would get away with it if that happened.
He's a bear. He might survive being shot.
I don't know. That gun looked rough.
Wait, what?
So they go down.
Bears have thick skin. If that cop shoots that bear in like the shoulder or something, he probably lives.
The thing is, I feel like you're doing like a parody of like racist myths about black people. But I can't tell if you're doing that or talking about actual bears.
Wait,
either way, I feel like it's uncomfortable.
I need to stress something. If that is a myth about black people, I am unfamiliar with it. I did not know that there was a myth that if you shoot them in the shoulder, they would live.
It's a very famous stereotype, Gina, and shame you for not knowing it.
Now I can't tell if you guys are being real.
Yeah, well, fuck it, man. We live in a world with where facts are what you make it. So that's just where we exist now.
Man, ever since we replaced Gina with that AI, she got super racist.
Here's the thing. If someone is listening to this show for the first time and they just hear what sounds like two white people and a guy named Chan talking about this, they might be upset.
Hey, we didn't make this. And the also, Chan is the one who picked it. Don't blame the white people.
The show actually is two white people and a guy named Chan. So I'm really like, you know, it sounds like there's two white people and a guy named Chan, but I want to assure you that that is absolutely not the case.
But did you hear the important thing through all that? Gina admitted that Italians are white people. We finally got her. We finally got her.
I got to stop telling people to listen to this podcast in my meetings.
You should. You absolutely need to do that because there are too many episodes. Where
find a really racist one and check that. There's a great Scooby-Doo episode I think you'd really enjoy.
I don't remember Scooby-Doo one. Is it Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters? Was that one?
No. That one was
Scooby-Doo in Chinatown.
We had a guest on, didn't we? Wasn't the one where Gina was not here?
I feel like Gina was here for that, but I could be wrong.
Well, you can't tell
any women
apart. To the
Wayback Machine.
You can't tell any women apart, so it was probably Eileen.
Probably.
You know what? It very well could have been TV's stepmom. Anyway, so they go back.
Either that or Teresa.
I mean, it makes sense. We're all white ladies with brown hair.
Now you're going to make me try to go and like find this. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is we're in the end run right now of this episode. Thank God. Thankfully, because despite the fact there was a lot to talk about, because it repeats itself and is so redundant in this vaudevillian style over and over and over again, very little happens in this cartoon, as it turns out. The Colonel is basically like this. It's Thanksgiving morning, and he says, we're going to go. The cop has told them, you got to go make this right. You got to go make this right or I'm going to arrest you. He says, okay.
I actually was curious if like he, like if there's no fine print that says, you know, like if you return it within 5 days, you have to keep the food. I wonder what the legality of this is, because it is clearly fraud. But
clearly,
if there's no, like, you know, like how long, if he had kept it for 5 days, would it have been fine? If he had kept it for 2 days, would it have been fine? I want to know what the fine print says, is what I'm saying.
Here's what I would say. This is regarding the police. And Chan, I'm going to need your help with this. Okay, you could answer this question for me. What are police there to protect?
Property.
That is the correct answer. So
yeah, but now that property belongs to the fox. Now that property belongs to the fox.
Except it's the property of rich people. And who has more money, the fox or the owner of the freezer store?
Honestly, I don't know. That man looked like he was going to cry when he realized he was out $50 worth of groceries. So maybe it's the fox.
$500 of groceries and like a $10 billion freezer. Like, what? Yep. Is insane to me. I would be crying too.
He got the freezer
the cop
back.
Is going to side with the property owner over the person, even if it is his own neighbor. And the colonel, they say they're going to go back into it. So the colonel says, I'm not going to give the food back. We cut to them having Thanksgiving dinner. The camera pulls back. They are in jail on Thanksgiving, where they must stay for 5 more days. Apparently, check fraud back in 1961 was a 6-day jail sentence, effective immediately.
It's in like the regular holding cell. They're not like going to jail, hard prison. They're not doing hard time here.
No, not for 6 days.
And they get a delightful Thanksgiving meal. Honestly, knowing these guys, they probably like enjoy it. They're really enjoying that food.
They don't seem
he
to
screwed
hate
over his
the
wife
situation.
And his sister-in-law though. He's really screwed them over.
There are times in life, I will say, that if I could have gotten $500 and just gone to jail for 6 days, probably would have done it.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're not like, if you're just in like a holding cell, like if I'm not in the regular jail and if I like got to steal $500 worth of food, I'd go to a holding cell for a day.
Yeah.
You have both been hanging around bears too much who give you bad ideas.
Well, the problem was, Chan, I was out in the woods, and they said, which do you choose? And I chose the bear.
Oh, yeah.
It all makes sense now that I've seen this episode.
Yeah.
This is what they're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Gina, this is what women are talking about?
Mm-hmm. Choose the
yeah,
bear.
I would, if I was robbing someone's house, I would choose the bear to do
Thank
it.
Thank you. They return home, and a really weird bit where he opens the safe and then sprinkles his cigar ashes into it, then closes it. Just wanted to mention it's weird.
Again, another very 60s thing. Very absurdist 60s thing.
And they said, did you learn any lesson from being in jail for 6 days? He goes, yeah, man. Came up with some new schemes.
They're in an office, which has a sign outside that says Claxon Real Estate.
Yeah.
So this guy is this fox, this swindler owns a real estate. I'm just kind of curious about, because like, obviously there are so many cultural norms that are different. There are, you know, economic norms that are different. A lot of this, the joke of this, whole thing hinges on the idea that basically they're not living in a time where there is fine print that would allow this sort of thing. So it's just an accepted norm that you wouldn't bring the thing, you wouldn't bring the freezer back immediately and get your money back. So like in this time period, is real estate like a con man sort of deal? Like, does he like sell the Brooklyn Bridge or like swampland in Florida or something like that? Do people just think of real estate agents as like a used car salesman back in the early 60s?
It must be, right? Because he would have money.
Yeah. He should.
I mean, obviously, like the lawyer being a weasel
Right.
You know, like it does seem like they're saying these are unscrupulous jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, like real estate agents.
So I don't trust real estate
agents. To be fair, the MLM to real estate agent pipeline is pretty strong. Let's keep it real. So you got to find one you can trust. I did.
Yeah, there you like thinking back, like, oh, I shouldn't be saying all these terrible things about real estate agents considering
that. Big fan. I'm a big fan of real estate agents. We're just having some fun here. But there are some really dog shit ones out there. So find a good one. I can suggest one if you need one. And that's our show. 1961's Calvin and the Colonel. I think I know the answer. Is this something y'all would watch again?
You know what? God, I'm not gonna lie. I might watch. I was intrigued by this and seeing how they made it and how they cut corners and how they clearly pitched it. Currently pitching many animated shows, so this kind of thing fascinates me. I might watch like another couple episodes.
You should not pitch a remake of Amos and Andy. I mean, I'm not a successful Hollywood producer, but I feel like that might not be tonally correct.
Hollywood loves a reboot.
They do. I feel like there are certain properties they may not be as interested in as others.
I don't even feel comfortable eating Famous Amos cookies because of that show. They 100% got to go to Costco. Got to go to Costco.
Oh.
That's why I had to hide all of my Andy Rooney tapes, the VHS tapes that I recorded of 60 Minutes, just the Andy Rooney bits.
Chan, we know that this might actually be real because you are slowly turning into Andy Rooney, I feel like.
Did you ever notice how... bears like to come in through your skylights? It's a very normal thing that happens to me all the time.
I could absolutely see you doing a bit like this, but it's not a bit, but you're like recording yourself complaining about things. Did you ever notice how back in the day they would double bag your groceries without asking you if you wanted them to double bag your groceries? Now it's like, is this coming out of your paycheck, sir? Double bag them, of course.
The comedian to Andy Rooney pipeline is very real.
We're not beating that.
Find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.